This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz. This program is sponsored by New Zealand Bridge, sponsors of Grassroots Bridge across the nation.
Welcome to the Bridge Zone. You're at the table with Barry and Mariana. I had ice on my windscreens here in Dunedin this morning. Barry, did you get a frost up there in the mighty Waikato?
No, I thought it'd be ice in your drink would be all you'd be having. Apparently it's on the windscreen as well, is it?
It was so frosty, I decided not to go over the hills. I went on the motorway. It's scary when it's slippery on the hills. So when I left, it was 3 degrees, and when I got home, it was 6 degrees.
I think I'll just stay in the Waikato, if you don't mind.
So we're at Hefei in China, and we've got some results.
We have. Beginning of the second round, Robin. So what's happened is we've got an open team, a seniors team, a ladies team, and a mixed team. And the open, there are more teams in that than the others, so they're having a double round robin. The other three groups are all having a triple round robin. Talk about getting your money's worth. At the moment, the seniors teams are the stars. They're lying second at the moment, pretty well placed. The mixed team, we're just watching them playing against Hong Kong, and we will gloss over that result, but they're lying 7th out of 10. The ladies team are lying right in the middle, 5th out of 9. And the open team is also sort of middle-ish or top half. They're 6th out of 13.
And how many were in the seniors?
They've got 8 teams in the seniors. Not big numbers, really. At the moment, Indonesia are leading from New Zealand in the seniors, with Japan in 3rd.
Okay.
I'm not quite sure of the format, whether it's just a triple round robin and it's all over. I think it may be. I haven't read anywhere that there's a final or a semi-final or anything, so perhaps that's it. Anyway, interesting to watch. They've had the seniors on BBO at least a couple of times. I think the ladies' team's been on BBO, and I think the open team might. I haven't actually seen the mixed team on ViewGraph. Watch out for those.
I watched when Blair and Liz were playing.
Were they on ViewGraph?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes,
they were. Okay, so they have been on. So if you remember my tip, watch some of these. You'll see some interesting things. Just see how people handle hands and how they defend and what they do if you want to improve your bridge. And it's also quite entertaining when it's when you've got some New Zealand players, particularly when they're playing against, you know, Australia or somebody. Well worth a look.
And if you want to look up the results, Richard Solomon did post on his latest article on NZB. The link at the bottom. So jump onto that. You have to be a little bit patient. Bear with it. Click on through and you'll find some results.
And that's Richard's article for Monday, the 19th of May. If you click to go down the bottom of it, he's got a link on there.
To know me is to love me. I must be a hell of a man. Oh, Lord, it's hard to be humble, but I'm doing the best that I can.
Welcome to the bailiff. It's bailiff week this week.
The judge hasn't been on for a while. I've done several recently.
I hope she hasn't been sending us an invoice every week for this.
She's actually playing. There's a fundraising tournament for breast cancer at the club today. That's what she's doing.
Awesome.
Okay, so we had an interesting scenario last week where one of the players made an insufficient bid of 4 clubs, which they intended as asking for aces. When the director was called, they wanted to correct it to 4 no trumps. Director asked them if that was also conventional. I guess this is one of these comparable bids. And the player said, well, no, we don't play 4 no trumps there as asking for aces, but partner will know what it means. What happens here, Patrick?
I'm well acquainted with this one because I was actually the director at the time. The auction was 1 spade with a 2 club response and a 4 spade rebid. And then the person had responded 2 clubs, then 4 clubs. Now, ordinarily, if 4 no trumps is in your system as being ace asking, then you would be allowed to change your call from 4 clubs to 4 no trumps because, as Barry quite rightly pointed out, it's a comparable bid or comparable bid. The rules say you can make it. When I asked him, is that in your system? He said, no, we don't play 4 no trumps, but partner will know what it means. The thing is, if 4 no trumps is not in your system, how can that really be a comparable bid? It's not in your system, so what's it compared to, right? So I had to say, well, I'm very sorry. Whatever you do, your partner will have to pass. And he chose to pass. they were cold for six spades as it happened, but that was just the way it was. So that's the rule about comparable bids, is it's got to mean the same thing in your system, not, oh, I'll bid four clubs. Partner will know what I mean when I change it to four no trumps, because they know what four clubs was. I can't recall actually having exactly that situation before, and I made the ruling, and I actually even rang the judge and said, interesting one, what do you think? And she was exactly the same as me. If it's not in the system, it can't be comparable to anything.
Right.
If it was in the system, and four no trumps was, say, it was key card, and four clubs was just standard Gerber, you would class then that four no trumps would be comparable because it would be...
Indeed. It's not exactly the same. That's that word comparable. It doesn't say exactly the same as, but I think asking for key cards, I think it's comparable to asking for aces. I think this is the same thing.
Close enough.
I guess you could have an argument about that. I think you'd be particularly tough, director, if you said no, key card isn't the same as asking for aces. Seems too tough to me. I mean, that word comparable, at some stage, you've got to have some sort of judgment situation. Now, just like it is when you're ruling whether or not a bid is acceptable after partner's hesitation, sometimes you get a situation where you've got to make a judgment. Is that good? Is that clear enough? Same thing here. Is it comparable enough? Because the rule is not identical. It's comparable.
Mm. When they say comparable, hasn't it got to be, I don't know the exact wording of this because I'm not a director, even though I was directing last week when you took it. The comparable thing is, hasn't it got to be like the same or more?
More precise.
So I guess four no trumps in a way, it's asking for more, isn't it? It's asking for the king and queen of trumps.
Yeah. Well, the best example I can come up with is one I've discussed with a few directors, is that example, and everyone seems to agree on this. You know how sometimes you open the bidding with, say, a diamond, and it's not your bid, and it's not accepted, and the hand on your right opens the bidding. So let's say they open the bidding with one club. Well, my ruling is that one diamond is not a comparable bid, because if you're overcalling one diamond, you might have much fewer points than for opening one diamond. So it easily could be a much different bid to overcall one diamond over one club. So my ruling there is that one diamond is not comparable. However, let's say instead of opening one club, they open one spade. I rule that two diamonds is comparable, because if you overcall at the two level, pretty much you've got an opening hand, you've got like 10, 11 plus.
10, yeah.
So I rule that two-level overcall over one spade is comparable, but one diamond over one club isn't comparable. And I've used that as an example, just discussing this situation with a few people, and so far no one's disagreed with that scenario. Like I said, it's possible. The reason I asked that question was because I thought some people might disagree with me, but there you go.
I guess if it went one club and you made an intermediate jump of two diamonds.
If you're playing intermediate jumps, you're fine. If you're playing intermediate jumps, because it would be more precise.
Could they double one club?
Double doesn't show diamonds, so double can't be comparable there.
But it should show the remaining three suits, shouldn't it, and an opening hand.
But not guarantee them. So if it went one club and your partner doubled, the opponents gave you the third degree and they said, does it promise four diamonds? What would you say?
No, it promises three plus.
There you go. Maybe if you play a three-card diamond suit, you've got some sort of case there. I'm still not impressed.
Even then, there's probably occasions when you double a club intending to rebid a major or no trumps.
Yeah, I know.
Where you've only got a couple of diamonds.
Well, the situations where you might have some sort of case for that is where you open one heart and you're playing four-card majors. When the auction comes round to you, trying to think of an example where a negative double that promises four cards in the other major might be the same as having shown. Let's say your partner opens one diamond and you respond one heart before the next hand has a chance to bid. So your bid's taken away when they don't accept it and they overcall a spade. So if double shows four hearts, then you'd be allowed to do it. But some people double and then change the suit. Depends, though. It's a question of whether or not double their guarantees four hearts.
Okay.
If so, then it would be comparable.
I think most cases it probably would show four hearts.
Yeah, but that's also comes under the category of interesting questions, because all you have to go on is they can substitute a comparable call.
Yeah.
We put in words like that. Sometimes one person has a different opinion about what a comparable call is to another.
I guess the easiest thing to do is not make an insufficient bid, probably.
Well, yes. Or bid out of two.
Interesting little scenario. Who knows coming up?
I was just thinking with that diamond one, though, Barry and Patrick, that if you played standard American, then showing 3+ diamonds and 3+ hearts and spades is good enough. But if you play Ackle, a double then wouldn't promise.
Clearly not if you're playing Ackle. Yep. If you're playing standard American with a better minor, I think we've come up with a good question. I still think I'm ruling against, but it's a more interesting question than if you're playing Ackle, yes. Minefield, isn't it?
It is.
Who'd be a director? That's why they get paid the big money, Mariana.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Hey, just before you go, heading into the King's Birthday weekend for Auckland, Barry had a look and the trees are starting to pick up now.
Well, actually, I tend to plan things in the week coming up, so I actually haven't even looked to see how many entries there are for Auckland. So tell me, Barry, what's your opinion?
It's quite interesting. I think you've got almost twice as many tables in the teams as you've got in the pairs at the moment.
Well, we seem to get that. If you go back to Easter, there was 17 tables in the open pairs. One of the things is that some of the intermediates play the teams. So at Easter, I had 17 tables in the open team, in the open pairs, and 8 tables in the intermediate pairs. 25 total, if you look at it that way. And then there's only the teams. There's not an intermediate teams as well. Certainly there were some intermediates that played the intermediate pairs and then had a go at the open teams. That field at Easter must have been a scary field for intermediates.
Talking about grades, Patrick, why aren't they hosting restricted open events?
Well, we have done some. I think New Zealand Bridge have had some rules that have changed here about what is a restricted open. We have, instead of having an intermediate as that second event on Easter, we have sometimes had a restricted event. I think rules about restricted, I'm not sure, have they changed or not? Somebody else suggested to me that they might be different in different parts of the country as to what was allowed and whatever. So I don't know. Okay. It's not up to me as to what they choose to run. I think there's some issues about exactly what restricted is. Are you allowed 2 open players if they don't have too many master points, for instance?
Yeah, that's right.
It's all a bit airy-fairy, and maybe they need to address that and make it consistent and make it well publicized what it will be.
Yeah.
I know when Hamilton have run them, we've struggled a little bit anyway for numbers for restrictors. It's quite a small sort of group, if you know what I mean. So
it's only big at Congress.
But you notice at Congress, they have things, it's less than so many master points. And I'm not so sure that's clear that other clubs can do exactly that. It seems to be there's one rule for what we'll say we're allowed to do at Congress, but we won't let other people in another club do that.
Yeah.
I mean, can you run a restricted with a combined rating points of less than 250? I don't think that exists, but they certainly do at Congress. So should Congress be a law unto itself, we'll do this, but no, you can't.
Ouch. I didn't mean it to turn into that.
And I could even be wrong about what I'm saying. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe clubs can, because I don't choose the tournament. But I've got an idea. Have you seen a tournament?
No, we haven't.
Like that? Or is it just at Congress? It appears to be just at Congress.
I think it's
just at
Congress.
I'm a part of a dying breed.
Yeah. Okay. I don't know how we got onto that, but thank you very much.
Thanks, Patrick. See ya.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, bye.
Yeah. He's really awesome. Yeah.
Can you remember where you were 7 years ago, Mariana? What you were doing?
7 years ago.
Don't you think that's a good question? I'm just trying to wonder whether you know the answer or not. Because I'll tell you what, you had a lot of free time in those days. Because 7 years ago, there was no bridge zone. It was just about to start next month. So it just occurred to me that I've probably seen you about 350 weeks in a row.
For 7 years.
For 7 years.
And sometimes we even had to see each other twice when Judge Julie and everyone else that's been invited on.
Yeah, so it might be, it's usually twice. So it's probably like, it might be 700 times. Well, that's a bit scary. You know, hopefully our listeners are still enjoying it. And if they are or if they aren't, why don't you email us in and tell us if you listened to that first episode 350 weeks ago, bridgezoneshuffle@gmail.com.
Funny. I was doing my normal watching today of a Peter Hollins video, and he shared memories when he first made the Australian under-21 youth team. And this year, he's actually the non-playing captain.
On the Australian youth team. That's because he's too old.
That's right. The World Youth Games are on, and it's self-funded, so they're not getting anything. And they have a little GoFundMe page, sort of like give a little page. If you want to go in, I did. I decided that I'd put $10 into the kit and do that. Just because, I mean, Peter Hollins, we use him on our show. He's got some great memories about it. So we'll see if we can get a poster of him when he actually made the youth team. Barry had a wee smile on his face and a chuckle when he saw the photo. So.
Wow, he definitely looked a lot younger back in those days.
If I ake nei, coming up next, Peter Hollins, professional Australian bridge player who has his own website. Check it out, bridgevid.com, or look him up on YouTube, Bridge with Pete.
You know what makes you actually feel old? It's the realization that you've been playing bridge longer than an entire age category of bridge. I've been playing bridge for 21 years, and I actually got my first big break in bridge playing in the under 21s. Oh, it's just all hitting me. Today, I wanted to recount a fair bit about my first under 21s world championship that I went to. And I was thinking about this because I have just been nominated as the Australian under 21s captain for this year's team. Now, the under 21s team this year is a self-funded team. So if you want to help support Youth Bridge, I'll post a link where you can help donate, but more on that later. I wanted to just introduce the team here. The team, we've got Tayden, Jade, Adrian, Tom, Alexis, and Artie. And I'm the non-playing captain. We're going to be going over to Italy, Salsa Maggiore. And I just think this is like an amazing experience and helps bridge players so much with their development. I want to just talk more about my first world championship, what's come of that, and a few of the experiences that have come back. First of all, my team, when I went over here, this was all the way back in 2006. I started playing in 2004. I'd only been playing a couple of years. And we went over to Bangkok. So there's my team. There's me, and then there's Michael De La Vera, Justin Mill, Adam Edgerton, Nabil Edgerton, and Andy Hung. And from this team, there's been some really sensational results just in this last year or two, where Andy Hung, playing with Sitaj Hans, won the World Bridge Tour, and Nabil Edgerton, playing with Michael Whibley, actually came second. So two of these people on the under 21 team won the World Bridge Tour and came second in it. For those that don't know, the World Bridge Tour is this awesome national events all over the world. And there's a World Bridge Tour where the big nationals from different countries have like rating points. And if you do well in multiple of them, then you get an entry into the final of the World Bridge Tour. So there's about 20 pairs, I can't remember the exact number, all playing in this World Bridge Tour final, like the best of the best. And my Aussie teammates came first and second in this. Also, Justin Mill won the 2024 IBPA Best Played Hand of the Year. So that's the International Bridge Press Association. They have awards for Best Played Hand, Best Defended Hand, Best Bid Hand, I think. And all the people that write articles and stuff, they submit them and then they find out the coolest, best, most impressive hand that's played in the year. And Justin Mill won that. If you want to know more about that hand, I actually made a video and I'll post a link up here and you can check that out. So back to Bangkok, where here I've got some really cool memories, but one that sticks out to me. Often when you go to a world championship, you might get a shirt from that event. But at this one, they went all out. They not only gave you a shirt, They gave you a bum bag, a hat, and this tiny little backpack that kind of felt like you were meant to be like a six-year-old, like a little school kid's backpack. And I was the only one that were committed to wearing all of the get-up. So I went and played some of the bridge. I dressed all in it. Here's a photo of me, young and wearing the full onslaught of this, the perps, we used to call it. And then I scoured through some bulletins and I found one of the hands that I was involved in all the way back in 2006. So we'll bring it up. And for me, this is just classic youth bridge at its finest. So here's the hand in question. The opponents were playing like a precision two club opening, so like 11 to 15 with five plus clubs or and a major or six card major. I went pass from Andy. And then West bid two no trumps. Now, this was just a transfer to clubs. There would be various options. Basically, it was saying partner bid three clubs. And here, I had this great hand. I had 17 points and I started with a double, take out of clubs. And then it went three clubs, pass, pass. And I had more than my initial double. So I now bid three diamonds, which sort of said I had a power double, like this really strong hand with an overcall in diamonds. And then Andy had this interesting hand. He's only got 2 points, but he's got great support for diamonds. And if East is the one with the clubs, his queen's actually going to be a stopper. So he took a bit of a gamble and bid three no trump here. On this one, he actually proceeded to go down five. They took the first five club tricks and four heart tricks, leaving us with just four tricks. Now, if we got in, we could have taken five diamonds, two spades, maybe a club, and been down one. Nothing says youth bridge like going down five in a freely bid game. Now, this looks like kind of a good result for East West, but one of the beauties of playing teams bridge is at the other table, we had Nabil and Adam Edgen. Nabil opened one club here, and this went pass and went one heart from Adam because he can respond at the one level here. North doubled, and here he bid three diamonds. This was a splinter, showing four hearts, sort of an invitational hand. Here, Adam really liked this hand with the double fit in hearts and clubs. He doesn't have that many points, but his points are working. No wasted points in diamonds. So he elected to bid four hearts, which got doubled. Now, on this, you've got two spade losers and a diamond loser, but we're missing the queen of clubs, and you have to find that, potentially. But North was to the rescue. They actually led a club and they got to make, and that was plus 790 versus minus 250. So a healthy pickup there and just like absolute classic youth bridge. So there were just a few memories from my first world championship over in Bangkok in 2006. I am like the biggest believer in getting people into good competitions in bridge at really young. So from under 21s, it gives you such a development point where you can like really go on and like it seriously improves your bridge. So if you want to help support the next generation of youth players, I'll post a link to the GoFundMe here, or you can check out the links below. But you'll be supporting the under 21s, amazing development. If everyone who just watched this video chucked in 10 bucks, we'd easily reach our goal and help these kids get over there. Hope you enjoyed hearing about my first World Championship and I'll see you later.
And do you have a tip for us?
My tip for you is, I reckon when you're directing and there's 10 tables, that you should not be playing director. I wasn't, by the way.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
Yeah, I think it's much easier to direct when you're not playing. It's just too tough.
Yes, it can be.
So a bridge playing tip. Sometimes when you're in a contract and you think the only way I'm going to make this is if the finesse works. Sometimes you might need two finesses working. My tip is delay taking that finesse as long as you possibly can. Play on other suits, do other things, see if you can find out a bit more about the hand. Maybe it's more difficult for them to defend. Don't be in a hurry to take that crucial finesse. I know you want to know whether it's working or not, to know whether you're making or not. There's no hurry. Play off your other suits first. Take the other finesse as the last resort.
Why would we do that?
You don't know what's going to happen. You might find out a little bit more about the hand. You might be able to eliminate another suit. So when they get in, they've only got two suits to lead. Maybe they'll lead the suit that you're worried about. Who knows what they'll do? But if you take the finesse, if it's losing, it'll lose. I'll guarantee you that. If you've got some other things to lose, just lose them. Let them in. Maybe they'll lead that suit for you. Who knows? Defending is hard. Sometimes people don't realize the crucial suit is diamonds or whatever. Delay taking that finesse as long as you possibly can.
Yep, I guess. Don't get itchy feet.
Maybe something good will happen.
Does it work even if you've still got cover in all the other suits?
Well, it depends whether you're in a suit or whether you're in no trumps, of course. If you're in a suit, you can quite often delay it until the bitter end. I mean, it's way better off to eliminate other suits and make it harder and harder for the opponents to defend. You know, maybe they'll give you a rough and slough. Maybe they don't realise it. Who knows? But if you can eliminate another suit, and if you can eliminate two other suits even, that'll be helpful. So the main tip is don't take the finesse until you have to.
Good tip, Barry.
Honestly, I'm serious about it. I think you'll find that it works way more often than you think it will, and probably way more often than it should.
Whoa, here he comes again.
Fast thing.
Who's that with me? Ethel? Is that you, Ethel?
Proud.
Where do you think you're going?
On his anatomy.
You can give us a
Well, that's it for this week. Got anything exciting happening this weekend?
No, no, I've got nothing coming up. I'm not playing any bridge this weekend. I'll be watching a bit of ViewGraph. Yes, I will be. So let's hope some of the Kiwi teams are on ViewGraph. Let's see if they can make it into the frame.
You should go and pick Nigella up and go up to the Franklin Restricted pairs.
That won't be happening.
Not very fair.
I've got open homes on the weekend. I'm all good, thank you very much.
Hey, oh, in Jackie, Franklin, they've got 40 pairs entered. How about that? That's
not too
a
bad.
Great number.
Gearing up for the King's Birthday Congress coming up, so everybody getting a little bit of practice in.
If you've got any ideas about Restricted Open and why that there's hardly any tournaments for that grade, let us know what your thoughts are. I mean, I fall into that grade, and I'm always keen to look.
Is it just because entries haven't been good when people have tried it?
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know what the reason is.
And everyone hates cancelling a tournament because of lack of numbers.
We'll catch you next week when we make our predictions for King's Birthday Weekend results.
Okay. Take care.
Bye for now.
New Zealand Bridge, sponsoring bridge from beginner to international nationwide. This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.